Okay, it is 6 o'clock. We are in the Gemara Yedeinim and Aleph. Amar Rav Lili Bar Mamo, which is if you go across from Tesis, my lab, Yedeinim and Aleph, go across, go down 2 to 3 lines. Amar Rav Lili Bar Mamo, Amar Marukva, Amar Shmuel. Rav Lili Bar Mamo says in the name of Marukva and the name of Shmuel. Saras Mema'enes Asura. Okay, so this is talking about a swallow. So we're going to have to let the Gemara work out the reasons of this, but let me just present the case. Taras Mema'enes Asura means a person, Reuven, died, and he was married to two women. One he was married to biblically, and one he was married to rabbinically. It was a Ktana, who got married by her mother or her brother, not in biblical marriage, but just a rabbinic marriage. Ktana decided to annul the marriage after her husband died. Meaning she's saying now, I don't want this relationship, and she has an ability to annul it retroactively. That's the difference between meal and get. Get is the husband severing the relationship. He can write a biblical get to a biblical marriage. He can write a rabbinic get to a rabbinic marriage. But here, it's talking about that she can annul the marriage. That is the power the Rabbanan gave her on a rabbinic marriage. She can walk out on it. And she can even walk out on it after the person died. She can say, I want out of this relationship, and she can retroactively annul it. So here is a guy, Reuven, married to a biblical marriage and a rabbinic marriage. Reuven died without children, and now his Ktana decided she wants out. She wants out. She doesn't need to see him. She wants out. She annuls the relationship to her first husband, which therefore makes it that she doesn't follow the Yibum. So theoretically, again, there's no Erva here. So really, the Shimon, the brother, could be Miyabim the Tzara anyway. That's the biblical wife. There's no Erva. She's not a Tzara's Erva. So there's no reason he shouldn't be able to do Yibum to the wife that's biblical, who's the one he should be doing Yibum to anyway. Still, Shmuel says that we don't allow Yibum. Tzaras Mema'enes Asura, we don't allow Yibum. Now, we don't know to what, to when, how. We'll have to explain it. Rashi. Rashi is the second line from the top. Tzaras Mema'enes Nafsu Levana Beis Yibamas Ma'achechat. Two ladies fell from one brother. Echad G'dayla, which is biblical. Uktana, rabbinic marriage. Umiya Nabayak Tata. And the Ktana wants out of the relationship. What do I do when memory is full? I just lost my recorder. Dr. Bray?
Yes, I am recording it, but that means that you have to, upload those cases, whatever.
Can I do anything now, or are you going to record it today?
No. It's full.
What?
I don't think
so. So you're going to have to record this and send it to them. I sent them everything yesterday.
Thank you so much.
So you're going to have to record this one today. I'm turning it off.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. So she wants out. Sarasa Asura. Now she said, I have no interest in this Yibum. So therefore, she wants to annul the marriage to begin with. Or she can even annul the zika to him, the bond to him, just like she can annul the marriage, she can annul the bond. Makes no difference exactly now. And therefore, she no longer has any bond to this brother. So the chiddush here is, that even the biblical woman, no erva here, still we say there's no yibum to the tzara. And the question is, why? Practice Gemara Laman. Who can't she marry? Who is she ushered to? Right? The Tzaras Erva. Laman. Who are we not allowing? I mean, let's explain. Reuven died, he had, let's say, two brothers. Shimon and Levi. The Yavama said, the Ktana said, I don't want any bond to Shimon. I'm out. I don't want to be bound to Shimon. Right? Now, we're saying that the Tzara is usher. Who can't be the Abba of the Tzara? Shimon, Levi, who's the one that's prohibited from doing Yibum to the Tzara. Elay Melachim, are you going to say that Levi can't do Yibum to the Tzara? Again, the Nilan happened to Shimon. The lady said, the young lady, the Katana, said, I want out from the bond to Shimon. And now, Levi wants to do Yibum to the Tzara. You're not going to let it? Hashtahi Gubasharya. The Amr Shmuel Bina Bezem Bukharas Bezet Sarasimi Boy. Shmuel's opinion is that when the Katana says, I don't want a relationship with Shimon, she can still marry Levi. She can still marry Levi. She can cut her bond with Shimon and still marry Levi. Now, the truth is, it can work two ways. It could be that she cut her bond to Shimon, and therefore, Levi is still, Ruben is still, again, she doesn't cut her relationship retroactively to her husband. She cuts the bond that her husband left her to this brother. She doesn't want it. But the bond to the other brother still exists, and they could do Yibum to her if they want to. Or, if she retroactively takes care of the marriage, she annuls the marriage, right? So then she can marry the brother. She would never marry Kurube, so she can marry the brother. So again, why shouldn't you allow the Tzara? You even allow the Tzara herself to marry Levi. So why wouldn't you let the Tzara marry Levi? Ella would be they. Shimon, who she annulled her bond to, cannot marry her and cannot marry the Tzara. That's what we're saying. So again, I want to clarify what's going on over here. This is no Erebus here. Reuven was married to two wives, a Gedaila and a Ktana. Reuven died without children. The Ktana decided that she wants no part of Shimon. And she said to Shimon, I don't want a bond with you. I am doing Mion and that bond to you. So the Gemara says that not only is she prohibited, but the Tzara is also prohibited. That's what it says. The question over here is, who is prohibited to the Tzara? Levi, the other brother? Why? Levi could even marry the Ktana. Again, if there's an Gedaila there, you would have to do Yibum to the Gedaila or Chalitza to the Gedaila. But if there was, let's say there was only a Ktana. Even if she broke the bond to Shimon, she can marry Levi. So why in the world couldn't Levi marry her Tzara? He could even marry the girl. Terence says, Shimon, who she did meet him, not only can he marry her, but he can't marry the Tzara. We don't know why. Why not? This is a biblical wife of Reuven. Why should the Mion of the rabbinic wife of Reuven affect the ability to do the biblical mitzvah of Yibum? We'll have to see. Rashi. The Man Asura. Yilei Ma'aslu Sharach. Hashti Gufa Vateres Lazar. She's mutter to the other brothers, so why should the Tzara be mutter? Hello, with your day. The Yabam Shemi and the Bayasura. The Yavam, that she did Mion, she's Aser. Why? The Mion Akile Lezika. Somebody should mute themselves, please. The Mion Akile Lezika. The Mion uproots the Zika. The Koyale the Eshesach. And she is Eshesach. The Taimar affects Rashi. Mion Nisuin Kamoyokar. Why is the Mion uprooting just the bond to Shimon? And therefore, she remains in Eshesach without the allowance of Yibum because she had moved the Zika. It's like an interesting concept. Here she is removing the bond. So she removes the bond that she wasn't Reuven's wife. So why is it Eshetach? And she was Reuven's wife, how does she remove the bond? In time, I mean, the Suman Kamoyaka, Rabbi Nachman's explanation with Harris wife. When she is doing Mion, she was never Reuven's wife. It's not like she was Reuven's wife and she removed the Heter Yibum. How does she remove the Heter Yibum? If she's Reuven's wife, there's Yibum rabbinically. If she's not Reuven's wife, then for sure Shimon can marry her. So why is she forbidden to Shimon? Zerah Rabbanani. The Rashi is the biblical Zerah. She didn't do Mion while Reuven was alive. It was Reuven's marriage that put her to Yibum to Shimon. Nearest to Eishes Achim. It appears like she's Reuven's wife. Had she done Mion while Reuven was alive, then she wouldn't have been Reuven's wife. But she did Mion after Reuven died. She can't uproot the fact that at the time of the death, it looked like Reuven's wife. Therefore, to Shimon, she was taken as Zika, and it looks like Reuven's wife without the mitzvah because she removed the Zika. Let me just finish. At the time that she falls, the Gemara says elsewhere, it looks like his daughter-in-law. So this is Shmuel's halacha. Again, we don't understand Shmuel yet completely, but let me just explain it one more time so we should know where we're holding. Reuven died. He left over a gzaila and a ktana. The ktana decided that she doesn't want to marry Shimon. So she said, I want out. I want out of the relationship to Shimon. So we're saying now that as far as Levi is concerned, Levi can marry the ktana, Levi can marry her tzara. In fact, if there is a tzara, he's going to have to do chalitza yibum to the tzara. If there's no tzara, Reuven was only married to the ktana, so then Levi can marry the ktana. But Shimon can't marry the ktana, and he can't marry the tzara. He can't marry the ktana, because even though she did niyun, so make up your mind, if the niyun worked, she was never married to Reuven, and if the niyun didn't work, Shimon should be able to do yibum. The answer is, the niyun worked. But since at the time when Reuven died, people viewed it as Reuven's wife, and then she did niyun, which cut the bond, so we say rabbinically, it looks like a brother's wife without the mitzvah. So niyun removed the mitzvah. And therefore, she is usher. Now, we still haven't gotten to the tzara yet, but therefore, she is usher. Yes, Harvey.
I think you answered my question, but just so I'm completely clear, if she had performed niyun before Reuven died, she would have been eligible to marry any of his brothers if she's not an erva.
Correct.
Biblically, she's not an erva. So what we're talking about here is we're talking about she had a rabbinic marriage to him because she was a katana. She did something rabbinically to get out of it. Now we have a death here, and we have a rabbinic appearance. Where we're holding right now is there's a rabbinic appearance once her husband died and she didn't perform the union until after he died. Now we're trying, according to where we are right now, to try to make up for it rabbinically or worry about a rabbinic appearance from a rabbinic, it's not a divorce, from a rabbinic leaving a rabbinic marriage, something like that.
Correct. And it only affects him, not his brothers. Because his brothers, she didn't get out of it, and therefore, they can marry her. Again, if there's an older woman there, they can't because it wouldn't fulfill their biblical obligation. But if she would be the only wife of Reuven.
Another wife.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Gemara. Well, my son, Amanus, the Shari Elachim, why do we say that the one who did the Vian can marry the brothers, because she did not annul it vis-a-vis them? Saranami loved the Bemaisa. Why should he be forbidden to the Torah? She annulled her relationship with Shimon, but the tzara is the way she was. Nothing happened to the tzara. Why in the world can't he be the Yavim again? Reuven left two wives, a regular biblical wife and a rabbinic wife. The rabbinic wife created an appearance of Eshafach by being near. But the bottom line is, we don't ban her to the other brothers because she didn't do anything vis-a-vis the other brothers. So why are we banning her tzara to Shimon? What's wrong with Shimon to the tzara? To the biblical wife. How can this little girl, with her knowing her relationship to Shimon, affect his ability to do his yibum to the biblical wife? Zafti Gemara, Zerim Mishim Tzara's Bitzim Amana. What we're afraid is, as follows, what we're afraid is that what would happen if Shimon's daughter was married to Reuven rabbinically? We explained the phase of the base, and Rashi will explain it here again, that Shimon married up his daughter, she got divorced, so he no longer has any rights to marry her up a second time. She's 10 years old. She got married rabbinically to Reuven, to Shimon's brother. So Reuven is married rabbinically to Shimon's daughter. Reuven dies, and he leaves over his rabbinic wife, who is Shimon's daughter, and an other woman, right? So the Mishnah said earlier that we don't allow Yibum to the other woman because it looks like Tzaras Bitai. It looks like a co-wife of his daughter, right? Even though she's really not a co-wife of his daughter because one's biblical and one's rabbinic, but rabbinically she's a co-wife of his daughter. So if we're going to say that we allow him, in a case when there's no daughter, we allow the person she did nidun to marry the tzara, we'll do the same when it's a daughter. Meaning, let's say Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter rabbinically and to another wife. Reuven died, and then his daughter, Shimon's daughter, did nidun vis-a-vis him. We would say, okay, if every other tzaras mema'enes is mutter, this tzaras mema'enes is also mutter, because the daughter annulled the marriage to her husband, and therefore is not an erva anymore. It's not a tzaras erva anymore, because she annulled the marriage. So therefore, we're afraid that will happen, and that we don't want happening, because that definitely looks like tzaras erva. So we expanded it and said, any tzara of a girl who does miyun cannot have yibum to the person she did miyun in. It's a gzera. Meaning, basically, we expanded the gzera and we said as follows. When the girl does miyun in Shimon, right, she bans herself to Shimon. And once she bans herself to Shimon, it shouldn't affect the tzara. But since if she were Reuven's daughter and did this, we wouldn't want yibum to the tzara, because it looks like tzara's erva. So in order people shouldn't get confused, we say, whenever a girl does miyun after her husband dies, not only is she usher to the one she did miyun to, but her tzara is usher as well. So it's a gzeira d'rabbanan, because we're afraid if we'll allow yibum to the tzara, they'll do yibum to the tzara, even if the young girl was Shimon's daughter. And then she did miyun. We don't want that happening, because that looks like tzara's erva. And therefore, that's why we answer it. Dr. Gemara, let's read it inside. Dr. Gemara, Zayin Mishum Tzaras Bitzar Nema'enet. We're afraid you might confuse it when the daughter is the Mayan, and that we don't want. Rabbinically, again, it's only a rabbinic marriage to the daughter, and now she's annulling it. But at the time when the brother died, this looked like Tzaras Bitzar. So therefore, we don't want you to do Yibum to the Tzara. If we're going to allow you to say that any young girl that's Mamayan, you can do even to the Tzara, you'll do it even if the young girl is your daughter. And therefore, they said, no Yibum allowed once a young girl is Mamayan. It's a Zera, because we're afraid you'll confuse this young girl with the young girl who's a daughter of the brother. I hope I explained myself.
Really?
Yes.
I don't understand. When she does miyun, she's really whatever she's affecting Shimon would apply to the other brothers also, correct?
No, we don't say that because basically what we're saying is she has the ability to cut off the relationship with Shimon, right? And leave the relationship intact. Let me explain it this way. If she would have done miyun during the lifetime of her husband, right, she could marry any of her husband's relatives. She was never married to her husband. She annulled the marriage. Right. But really, she does even posthumously. She should also be able to marry any of her husband's relatives. She was never married to her husband. But the problem is, at the time of the death, she was Reuven's wife. And since at the time of the death, she was Reuven's wife, we say the fact that she went now and annulled it, because of Shimon, she said, I don't want Shimon. That's what she said. She didn't say, I don't want to be married to Reuven. She said, I'm annulling my bond to Shimon. Now, the way she annuls her bond to Shimon is to say, I'm removing my marriage. There's no way to annul the bond, simply put, the way Rashi learned, without annulling her previous marriage. But she's doing that because of Shimon. She says so. I don't want to be married to Shimon. So therefore, we look at Shimon and we say, this was your brother's wife. That's what it looked like at the time of death. And she has severed it vis-a-vis you. So therefore, you can't marry her. But the other brothers, they were never affected by her annulment. If she annulled it retroactively, they can marry her. If she annulled it now, as far as they're concerned, she didn't touch them. She just said, I don't want Shimon. It's like her way of removing Shimon out of the equation. But the other brothers are unaffected because, well, let me check. If she annulled the original marriage, she should be able to marry them anyway. And if she didn't annul the original marriage, she just annulled the bond to Shimon, it doesn't affect the bond to them. So the Rabbanan didn't touch that. But vis-a-vis Shimon, they said, even though she annulled the original marriage, there's no reason Shimon should be able to marry her. But since at the time of the death, it was Reuven's wife, and she said, I don't want Shimon, and I'm annulling my bond to Shimon. So the Rabbanan said, we're going to keep that, not let Shimon marry her.
Why are we stressing that she has more of a bond to Shimon? Why is he? Because he's the oldest brother? Is that why?
No. She has no more bond to Shimon.
No, what I'm trying to say is she says, I want to annul this relation of Zika to Shimon. But he
doesn't like
greater Zika. He doesn't have a greater Zika.
Shimon is the brother-in-law she hates. She likes Levi. She likes Yehuda. She doesn't want to end up getting married to Shimon. That's the last thing on her mind. She hates Shimon's gut. So she says, I'm breaking my bond to Shimon. I'm annulling my bond to Shimon. That's what she says. Now Rashi says, the way that works is she annuls her marriage to Reuven. So really, Shimon is unaffected. He can say, hello, you were never my brother's wife. But since it happened after Reuven died, and she said she's annulling her bond to Shimon, we say, as far as Shimon is concerned, it's a brother's wife without a bond. As far as every other brother is concerned, take it which way you want. It's either not a brother's wife, or is a brother's wife with a bond. Because she didn't affect that. Now, why did she pick on Shimon? Because she hates his gut. That's why she picked on Shimon. She doesn't want to marry Shimon. She doesn't want to be stuck.
Either the bond's broken or it's not.
Again, you're talking
either
about...
The bond's broken. I'm talking either the bond's broken to all the brothers, or it's not broken. I mean, look, you can
again, so you're 100% right. You're 100% right. In reality, the bond is broken to all the brothers. In reality, she was never married to Reuven. Really, anybody can marry her now, including Shimon. It was never Reuven's wife. But Reuven died, and it looked like his wife at that point. And Shimon is the one that was the recipient of her nidah. So we say, as far as Shimon is concerned, we look at it as Reuven's wife because that's the way it looked at the time of death. And no bond because that's what she annulled. Now, the technicality of how she annulled it was to make herself not Reuven's wife. But in what she did vis-a-vis the public was sever her bond to Shimon. The public, the regular layperson, sees that, oh, she severed her bond to Shimon. The regular layperson doesn't say, oh, she was never married to Reuven. She was married to Reuven. Reuven died. She's trying to sever her relationship now retroactive, which she can do. But the regular layperson says she's severing her bond with one of the brothers. So to that brother, rabbinically, we say, since it looks like you're marrying Reuven's wife without a bond, we can't allow that rabbinically. To the other brothers, we say, it's a bond. It's Reuven's wife with a bond. That's what it looks like. It's fine. Really, it's not even Reuven's wife. Really, there's no mitzvah yibum here because it's not even Reuven's wife. But since at the time of the death,
does the people on the outside think that Nian works a mafreyer or not? Either it does or it doesn't. It's not, people think, oh, for Shimon it works this way, and for the other brothers it doesn't work this way. You know what I mean?
The people on the outside think that Mian is a way of severing a bond with one of the brothers and it doesn't affect the original marriage. That's what people think. What do all people think? People think that if she said, I don't want Shimon, she's breaking her bond with Shimon and remains bound to the other brother. That's what people think. Now, The question is, how does that affect her tzara? She broke her bond to Shimon. It's wonderful. Why is her tzara attached to Shimon? The answer is, we're afraid that this young girl might be Shimon's daughter. And if she breaks her bond to Shimon, it still, at the time of Yibum, looked like tzaras erva. Just like here, it looks like a girl that broke her bond, and we don't let Shimon marry her. We're afraid that if she's his daughter, if we let him marry the tzara, he'll marry the tzara even if it's his daughter. So therefore, they answered, every tzara is mena'ena. That's what the Gemara said. Three Rashi. Tum tzara is bita mena'ena. So asil amishas tzara is bita ktana. The tzara of his young daughter, shenafu loy v'yivu l'miyan abay. That fell to Yibum, and she did Mia. Tamina, Nesua, Kamoi, Ka'akra. Really, she uprooted her original Nesua, saying to Tzara Zerba. Now, we don't want that because it looks like Tzara Zerba. The Eichi Dami Mia, the Bikai, how can you have a daughter named the Mayan? Hayo, Yukayan, he's alive. So how is she ever married rabbinically? Hey, Mia, that would be Simon, so she will be a Kedushin. He's in the shower. Usually, Mia is done by a Simon. The Shkakas will be a Simon, the Chayah. You can have a girl that's treated like an orphan even during your father's lifetime. The Pakalai Tchusei, the Tchus went off Mina. She asked him to Mishusei, meaning she once married. She went out of his Rishos. Her first husband, biblical husband, divorced her. And therefore, she's now no longer in the Rishos of her father. The Pakalai, but this is Pakalai Aviyah. She now married Ruvein, Yechayla Lamon, Biyav, and Pakalai Aviyah. She can be Mamayan and Shimon, her father. Press the Gemara. The Tzara is Bita and the Ma'anas Miyafira. Why is the Tzara Usher? Even if it's a daughter. Even if it's a daughter. Ruben was married to Shimon's daughter, Kana, right? And to another woman. We're saying that we don't want Shimon to be Miyabit, even the Tzara. Therefore, we answered every Tzara in the Ma'anas. Because of the case when the Kana is Ruben's daughter, it's Shimon's daughter. Why is that Usher? But now we learn the Mishnah says, the Kulam and Nezo Mian Lutzer Esay and Mutar. The Mishnah says that if the girl did Mian, the Tzara is Mutar. Doesn't that say the daughter did Mian, you can marry her Tzara? She is very is because of a case that the daughter did Mian. Well, the daughter did Mian, the Mishnah says the Tzara is Mutar. The Mian of the Man. Who did his daughter do Mian? Elan of the Mian of the Baal. Is it that Reuven was still alive and Shimon's daughter did Mian before Reuven died? Hainagusha. That's like getting divorced. Why did the Mishnah have to mention Mian separately than divorce? It's like when Reuven divorces Shimon's wife, daughter, that the Tzara is Mutter, right? So when Reuven, when she does Mian, it's the same as divorce. Must be, Elilah B'Yavah. She's doing Mian after Reuven dies. And the Mishnah says the Tzara is Mutter. So why did you ask your Tzara a regular Mamanas because of Tzara's Vitae when Tzara's Vitae itself is Mutter? Dr. Gemara learned, the island of the Baal, with Trey Gavni Gersh. No, the Mishnah talks about she did Mian while Reuven was alive. And you're right, it's similar to Reuven divorcing her. But it's a different technique. Reuven can divorce her, or she can walk out of the marriage. So the Mishnah says, if she walks out of the marriage before Reuven died, then the Tzara is Mutter. Because at the time of death, Reuven wasn't married to Shimon's daughter. But Enochi Nami, if at the time of death, Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter rabbinically, we wouldn't let Shimon do Yibum to the Tzara because it looks like a Tzara terrible. Zot Rashi. Mian of the Baal. Tana, that's right. That's going into the Gemara Bible. Now, the Gemara has a problem. And the Gemara's problem is as follows. Reuven marries a Tana. Right? And then the girl does Mian. That girl is permitted to marry any of Reuven's relatives. She can marry Reuven's father. She can marry Reuven's brother. She can marry Reuven's son. She was never married to Reuven. That means if a girl does Mian in a husband, she had no restrictions at all of who she can marry. It's as if she was never married to her husband. The Gemara's problem is, why by Yavam, don't we say the same thing? Let her do Mian after her husband died. She was never married to her husband. If she was never married to her husband, she should be permissible to his brother, to his son, to his father. Why are we saying here that since she was married to the, right? Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter. Shimon's daughter did Neon after Reuven died. That means Shimon's daughter was never married to Reuven. Period. End of story. Why are we saying that no? In this case, we would not allow, because it starts, Neon annulled the original marriage. She was never married to her husband. There should be no restriction on the Tana herself. She can marry any, if she's not an heir, she can marry any relative. So why by Yibum, all of a sudden we say that no, this girl that did Neon cannot marry Shimon because it's his brother's wife. If she had done Neon before Reuven died, she could marry Shimon. So why now can't she marry Shimon? That's the Gemara's question. That's the Gemara, my snorky Neon of the Baal, the criminal of the Suan. But she did Neon to her husband. She uproots to the Suan. Kimina the Yadam Nami Nisuan Kabbalah Shiakra. But she does Neon after Reuven dies. Isn't she also annulling the original marriage? Why are we stricter when Reuven dies and then she does Neon to Shimon? She can't marry Shimon because it's Reuven's wife. But if Reuven was alive and she does Neon to Reuven, then she could marry Shimon because then it's not Reuven's wife. So if she did Neon after Reuven died, it's also not Reuven's wife. So why are we being stricter if the Neon is done posthumously? Why? And for the Gemara, which is the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, because the bride said the Rami Bar Yecheskel told us that Neon of the Baal, the Teres Lazar, the Yavam Asura Lazar, the bride said clearly states, if the Neon is done while the person's alive, she can marry his father. If the Neon is done after the husband died, she cannot marry his father. Why not? Because all of Mishas Mephila nearest Kikalasai, Hachanami Mishas Mephila nearest Kicharizbita. The answer is very simple. We look at the time of death. What do people consider this woman? If she didn't kneel while her husband was alive, everybody knows this woman has annulled the marriage. That's what they know. They see a girl was married to Reuven, and then she walks out of the marriage. So everybody understands she really was never married to Reuven. And therefore, she can marry Reuven's father, and people won't go, oh, she's marrying an erva. No, she's not. She was never married to Reuven. She walks out of the marriage. But if Reuven dies, and then she does Neon, halachically speaking, it's the same. She was never married to Reuven. But vis-a-vis people, she was Reuven's wife when he died. And people cannot understand, or they don't grasp, that a woman can annul a marriage retroactively after her husband's death. And therefore, in people's minds, she will have been Reuven's wife. And if she marries Reuven's father, they'll say, the guy's marrying his daughter-in-law. Now, even though she was never his daughter-in-law retroactively, but in people's minds, at the time when Reuven died, this marriage was intact. Even though she now nullifies it retroactively, in people's minds, that doesn't work. Therefore, we have to judge how people view it. People view it as Reuven's wife. Therefore, she cannot marry his father, even though she walked out of the marriage retroactively. The same thing is true by Shimon's daughter married to Reuven. Shimon's daughter now says, I'm nullifying my marriage. But people say, no, he was married to Shimon's daughter at the time of his death. They don't understand that Neon can nullify a marriage that no longer exists because of the death of the husband. And therefore, we have to be afraid by Tzaras Bitai, and that's why, according to Shmuel, we banned even Tzaras of any Mamana, because we don't want the person marrying the Tzara of a Tana who did Neon, because then people will say you can do it by a daughter as well, and it looks like a Tzaras Erba. So really, the Drabbanon built on a Drabbanon. Tzaras Bitai is a rabbinic fear that people will think you married Tzaras Erba, and therefore they answer every Tzaras Mamana, according to Shmuel. Rashi.
Reverend?
Yes.
You touched on something that's just bothering me about this. I don't really have a question. It just seems to me that the whole concept that the Rabbanan created of permitting a father to marry off his katana is something to permit a katana to get out of something because she is a katana. We're worried about making sure that people get married, that people get protected, that people get supported, that people aren't trapped in situations they don't want to be. Layered on that now are more rabbinic rules about appearances. We're worried about this and we're worried about that. We permit this girl who's still less than 12 years old to leave at a certain point, a marriage that she either didn't ask for, doesn't want, or doesn't feel she needs to be supported. And yet now we're taking the Tzara and we're eliminating her rights to get supported, or not her rights, her ability of various places, sources of support that she would otherwise get because of some sort of worry about appearance to the general population that they think they could do that, or that she's that, or someone's doing that, so that that kind of a wrong behavior is not repeated. The whole thing kind of feels to me like it's standing on a kind of thin lead here, because it's all rabbinic. It's not like there's not like a biblical principle being protected here. It's more like the rabbinim have created a structure of fairness and support, and now it's just hard for me to conceive that people.
I just want to make 2 points. Number one is, if a father marries up his daughter, that's biblical. She can't walk out. It's talking about that the father has no right to marry her up because she had been married once. And once she was married once, he loses his right. She got married rabbinically, meaning without the father marrying her off. She married herself off, her mother married her off, her brother married her off, or her father a second time around married her off rabbinically. So the whole concept of Miyan is only in rabbinic marriage. Number two, it is built on a biblical thing. You're 100% right. This is all rabbinic structure. We created the marriage. We created the ability for a girl to walk out of a rabbinic marriage. And because of that, we've created a situation where we have to start worrying about appearances. But what we deep down worried about is the appearances. Meaning, had we not created the structure, you're 100% right. There would be nothing to worry about. There would be no rabbinic marriage. There would be no case of rabbinic marriage. We decided we need rabbinic marriage to protect girls. For whatever reason, Chazal decided that since it's only rabbinic marriage, we'll let a woman walk out, which we don't do in a biblical marriage, but we will do in a rabbinic marriage. That was our decision. Why Chazal decided that, I don't know. But they decided that. Now, once they established that, they have a biblical fear, meaning they're afraid that people are going to marry Tzaras Bitai, even if it's biblical. So therefore they said, no marrying Tzaras Bitai, even if it's rabbinic. The problem is, it's not really Tzaras Bitai if it's rabbinic, because she walked out. The answer is, appearances are like Tzaras Bitai. And once we said that, we said every time it's Tzara, we can't let them marry, because it might lead to this, which will lead to that. And you're right. Therefore, this Tzara, of both Bitai and an irregular Tzana, doesn't have the option of Yibum. We remove the option of Yibum off her table. And as you're right, for many women this will be very difficult. They now don't have the support. But it is an outgrowth of the way we set up the concept of Miyan. I will agree with you. But once we set it up, there was a biblical fear involved. It wasn't totally rabbinic. It's built on rabbinic halacha, but it leads to a fear that if we let Tzaras Bitai get Yibum in a case when it's rabbinic and she walked out, we will let Tzaras Bitai get Yibum even when it's not rabbinic, when it's biblical, and that would be prohibited. So it does lead to that biblical point, but you're 100% right. It's all built on rabbinic takanas, one on top of the other, which created this situation that we have to be afraid of. That's 100% right. I'm not really answering your question. I'm just pointing out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not really asking a question either, but let me just ask another stupid question about you. Isn't the idea of a katana leaving a marriage under any circumstances, even then, so unusual that the general population would know the details of it and not confuse one with the other? Let's say it's common that katanas get married, that they have these kind of things. The idea that they would get out of it must be more unusual, and the idea that there's a death surrounding that would be even more unusual. It's hard for me to conceive that the general population would just automatically conflate one situation with another. This would seem to be a headline. Oh my gosh, this tiny girl is getting out of this marriage. The people would know the specific situation. And I realize again I'm messing up.
No, you're 100% right. When she does me and during the lifetime of her husband, everybody gets it that obviously this marriage is a no. The problem is, when her husband died and they were married, happily married, And then because she hates one of the Yavam, she announces that she wants out. People don't view it as affecting the original relationship. Because she died as a happily married Ktana. He died as a happily, with a happily married Ktana. So people have to understand, there you're expecting people to take it the next step. That they should understand that what's happening is as if she did it during the lifetime of her husband. And that people have a difficult time to do. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. Okay, that ends the Sugya of Tzaras Mamana. Don't think about it. Amar Abasi. Tzaras Islanders Asura. Now here he's talking about a woman. He married a woman. He knew she was an islander. Unlike the case of the Mishnah. Well, we said he found that. We found out afterwards that she was an islander, so she was never married to him. This is a guy who married a woman. He knew she cannot have children. Not because she's an akara, because for whatever reason she just didn't have them conceived. But he knew that this was a woman that's missing the body parts necessary to have children. He knew that. Went into the marriage, full knowledge that he's going to be marrying a woman that cannot physically, doesn't have the ability to marry, to conceive. Impossible, her body parts are missing. So now, he married her, he's allowed to marry her. I mean, he's not being Mekai and Puravu with her. He can have another wife in Mekai and Puravu. He can be married to her. He dies without children. There is no mitzvah of Yivum to this woman. We die from a pasuk that Yivum is only to a woman that has the physical ability to conceive. Now again, physical ability means she has the body part. She can be 92 years old, but if she has all her body parts, there's a mitzvah of Yivum. But if she's missing body parts, we die from a pasuk that she's not eligible for Yivum. That's in Zeret HaKasim. She's not an Erva. She's a regular lady. Reuven died. She had two wives. One was an islandess. One was a different woman. And for sure, there's no mitzvah of Yivum or Chalitza to the islandess, because the Torah specifies that the woman has to be capable physically. I don't know if I'm using the right word. She's not missing anything that would make it impossible for her to conceive. Now, again, a 92-year-old lady is not conceiving either, but not because she's missing the body part. And therefore, there is a mitzvah of Yivum, whereas by the islandess, there's no mitzvah of Yivum. If Asi now says she affects her tzara as well. That's what Rav Asi says.
Can I just finish one line? Sure.
Since she can't have Yivum Mechalitza, therefore, her tzara also can't have Yivum Mechalitza. That's what, because she becomes an Ashes Ach without a mitzvah, biblically, once she doesn't have a mitzvah, so then the tzara has no mitzvah, he's not allowed either. Because it's like an erva. It's not an erva, but it's a brother's wife without a mitzvah. So therefore the tzara is the tzara of a brother's wife who has no mitzvah. Therefore, it is uttered to the Yibum and there's no mitzvah chalit. Yes?
I would think Pukhtan Kerut, if the fact that the island is not able to have children should be much a bigger strength force for her to marry Sarah, so she would perpetuate his brother's, the brother's name. That's the whole point of the whole idea of Yibum, no?
Again, I'm losing you on the question. Are you asking about the 92-year-old lady? What are you asking exactly?
No, I'm talking about the tzara of an islandess. If the whole point of the process of Yibum is to perpetuate the name of the brother that died, shouldn't be greater mitzvah for him to marry the tzara? Because that way, because the islandess is not able to fulfill that process for perpetuating the name, so it should be the greater mitzvah for him to marry the tzara to perpetuate the brother's name, no?
Okay, so let's set up the following case. We had a case in the Mishnah that Reuven died, and afterwards his brother was born, right? And we said that he can't be Miyabimah because it's Ashes Akhav Shlai Ve'Lamai. And he's not Miyabim his wife, the Tzara either, because she's the Tzara of an Erva. That means he's not perpetuating his brother's name. That means whenever an Erva is involved, we don't allow perpetuation of the name, even with the Tzara. That we learned in the Mishnah, Davezim, and Aleph. And not only does the Erva not have Yibum, but the Tzara doesn't have Yibum as well. Right? We learned that Davezim, and Aleph. Here, this woman is an Erva. The islandess is an Erva. Because she's a brother's wife, that the Torah took away Yibam. That means she's a brother's wife without a heter Yibam. She's an erva. She's like a brother's wife. She's a case of a brother's wife without a mitzvah. Whenever you have a case of a brother's wife without a mitzvah, seemingly, she's an erva. She's an erva. Her tzara is a tzara's erva. And therefore, there's no mitzvah Yibam. So even though in tzara you might be right, but the Torah said, no Yibam by tzara's erva. She is a tzara's erva. That's what Ravashi said. Ravashi said.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry?
Thank you.
I'm going to ask.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So let's say the man leaves behind two wives. So his brother marries one of the wives. Years later, they find out that the other wife was an islandess. What happened?
That's a big problem, by the way. It's a massive problem. You're 100% right. It makes a massive problem. Now, you have to understand, right women, an overwhelming majority of women are not islandesses. That's fact. It's a very remote possibility, but yet a possibility. And you're 100% right. Now, really, we usually know about an islandess by the age of 20. Because she develops what the Gemara calls Simonite islandess. And even if we don't know about an islandess of the age of 20, by the age of 35, if she doesn't have, one of the symptoms of an islandess is she doesn't have Shaitanus. She doesn't develop adult, mature hair. Now, if she doesn't develop it by the age of 20, that makes us be suspicious when we check that she has other symptoms islandess. If she does, we know she's an islandess by the age of 20. In worst case scenario, we know it by the age of 35. So you're right. A guy died, he left him with two wives. One was 13 and one was 14. And the guy was Miyabim, the 14-year-old. And according to Abasi, like 20 years later, he finds out that the 13-year-old was an island. That means he was Miyabim, his brother's wife, when there's no mitzvah. That means they lived in sin for 20 years. And he would have to bring a carbon chatas to the shayid. The kids, unfortunately, would be mabedim 100%. You're 100% right that that is a possibility. Very remote, but possible. You're 100% right. Now, according to, you don't hold the Gavati. If you're miyabim the 14-year-old and then find out she's an islandess 20 years later, you also committed lived in sin. You lived with your brother. Again, if your brother knew she was an islandess, your brother didn't know she was an islandess, then he was ever married to her, so it wouldn't be a sin. It's only when your brother knew she was an islandess and married her anyway. And that, by the way, would save most of the cases. I'm going back now. You marry a girl, right, and then you found out she was an islandess, but she was never married to her original husband. So there's no sin of you marrying her, biblically. Reuben was married to a woman. He died. Shimon was the Abimer, and finds out 10 years later that she's an islandess. Well, Reuben didn't know she was an islandess, and we assumed that no man wants to marry an islandess. Therefore, she was never married to Reuben, so Shimon didn't do any Avera. You're right. It's only when Reuben was aware and Shimon wasn't aware, that's when you would have an Avera. Which is very difficult, because if Reuben was aware, that means the woman knows as well, obviously.
So when he marries, the initial question was when he finds out his wife's previous tzara was an islandess, then their marriage is not good either, right?
That's the original marriage was no good. The original marriage was no good. So it wasn't the tzara.
Uh-huh. Unless knowingly, that's the only difference. Wow.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
The case of Ravashi is that he did it knowingly. This was a knowing marriage. He knew it. He knew she was an islander. Shenema, Rahoya Abchor, Asher Tele. Now, this is a pasuk that we take out of Pashup Shat. When you read Chumash, you think that when Reuben does, Shimon does Yibam to Reuben's wife, they should name the first baby after Reuben. Rahoya Abchor Asher Tele, Yalkum Asher Malchum Amei. That's not what the pasuk means. Chazal darshan it to mean the Bahaya Abchor, that the oldest brother should do Yibum, and as her tailored means, she has to be eligible physically to give birth. That's how Chazal Darshan it. And that's where we exclude Brat Bahayimimus, Shani Yoledis, we will continue in Meretz Hashem tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.